أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us tawfiq. Still, we've had another night to have the honor to remember Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and that great sacrifice he did in order for us to prepare the grounds for the return of our master. We've come to verse number 7 in Surah Yusuf. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفْ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. In Yusuf and his brothers, there are certainly signs for those who have questions. What does this verse mean? That there are signs in Yusuf and his brothers for those who have questions. One point that's raised in some of the tafasir is that this verse indicates the reason why this verse or the surah was revealed. We understand from this part that there is some indication a group of people came to the Holy Prophet and asked him about the story of Yusuf or some part of it. And so for this reason, the surah was revealed. But the message of this verse, the idea that in this story of Yusuf and his brothers, and the Quran itself are signs for those who have questions, it's not limited to those individuals. Rather, the Quran is addressing all of us. One of the lessons that we get from this is the lessons on the Tawheed or oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other lessons that we get on the hope that we should have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help that Allah gives His chosen servants. This is the story of someone who overcame incredible odds in order to be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who started out as the beloved son of a prophet of God, the most beloved of his children. Is then after that, his brothers see that, and we're going to cover this inshallah in the surah today. His brothers see that, they become jealous, they put him into a well. According to our traditions, his brothers then sold him into slavery to get rid of Yusuf. Yusuf is a slave, goes to a foreign land, is bought as a slave by the second most powerful man in the country, the Aziz. Then he starts to live a life that you and I, it's difficult for us to imagine how wonderful a life he lived in the castle. The favorite son of the second most powerful man in the country. After that, the guy's wife falls in love with him. Yusuf alayhi salam resists, refuses, and for this reason is cast into prison. He remains in prison for years, and he maintains his dignity even in the prison. You remember the story of Hazrat Yusuf, that even when the king later approaches him, they send a messenger to have Yusuf come out. Yusuf doesn't start begging for forgiveness. They come and they ask him for a request. Yusuf gives them the answer to their request. After that, they say, the king would like to see you. Yusuf, the slave, the foreigner in prison, has his demands. What happened to those women who made those accusations? He doesn't want a royal pardon. He demands that they investigate, then I'll come out. He's given an important post. He gets control over the economy of the country, and finally becomes the undisputed ruler of the country. So it's a lesson where we see Allah can do whatever He wants. Allah takes over the lives of His devoted servants. He assists them. No situation, no matter how bad, on the outside world should make us lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the idea that we can also achieve victory. There's a beautiful hadith that we have from the Imams, and this is the hadith illustrates one of those spiritual wajibat. There are some spiritual wajibat. These things are not wajib from a fiqhi point of view. If you don't do this particular practice, Allah will put you in the hellfire. No, it's not one of those. These are for those who are looking to get a little bit more out of Muharram. They'd like to get a little bit more out of Muharram practically. They'd like to better themselves. They'd like to change themselves, become the soldiers of the Imam. They're looking for practical lessons. What practical lessons can we get from the life of Surah Yusuf in order to better ourselves and change our character? I'm not looking for the bare minimum Islam. I'd like to be one of the elite soldiers of the Imam. So spiritual wajibat. For those who want to go deeper and have a greater ambition, spiritual ambition, there's more instructions. Spiritual things which are necessary to do. One of them is this. This hadith is from Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Kun lima la tarju arja minka mimma tarju." Expect, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expect the unexpected more than you expect the norm. When he tells this hadith, he refers to the story of Hazrat Musa, salamullahi alayhi, when he went for fire for his family and came back a prophet. Expect the unexpected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an inside secret that we want to know, and I'm going to explain the principle. There's an inside secret that we want to know about how Allah deals with His servants. We learn from a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, Allah deals with you according to your expectations. If you expect, this hadith, if you expect good from Allah, good. If you expect bad from Allah, you think Allah's your enemy, Allah's gonna hurt you, He's not gonna make it happen, it's gonna all fail, it's gonna crumble. Sometimes the reason we fail is because we don't expect good from Allah. We don't think Allah can do it. We're not that sure, confident, that hope in Allah delivering us. So one of the spiritual wajibat is a process that we call talqeen. Reminding ourselves, with the permission of Allah, I can do it. With the permission of Allah, I can make it. I can overcome. I can achieve. But this is one of those spiritual wajibat. It's not a wajib which is fiqhi. Just like the one I mentioned the other day, I mentioned four of them the other day. One of them was the idea of sleeping properly. Is it haram if I deprive myself of sleep? No. You're not looking for the higher stages of Islamic spirituality. Relax. Deprive yourself as much as you want. But if you're looking to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you really want to achieve those higher, then there's responsibilities. Talking about sleeping earlier in the night is better than sleeping later in the night. That's closer to the sunnah of the Prophet, to sleep closer to the time after Maghrib. So one of them was this process, the process of talqeen and remembering Allah's help, victory, believing this and repeating this to ourselves. The idea that Allah is the guardian of the believers. He looks out for the believers. He takes them out of darkness and brings them into light. When we remind ourselves of these things, then we're able to achieve things that otherwise normally wouldn't be possible for us. Let me share a story with you. There was a scholar. He lived in the time of Ayatollah al-Uzma, Sheikh Ansari. Back in the day, one of our greatest ulama was Sheikh al-Ansari. This scholar lived at that time, and he used to visit the shrine of Hazrat Abbas. He had three needs, three hajjah, and he would go there and he would beg and ask Hazrat Abbas for these things. And they say in the story, Ayatollah Behjat's relating the story, he says the scholar would go and he would come with all of the adab, right? There's certain things which have been mentioned in the ziyarah. Do ziyarah like this, say that. This scholar would be observing all of those things. He went for a year begging for his hajat, requesting, asking, doing all of those things which he could do. After a year goes by, he sees that this group of Bedouins, villagers, they come into the haram, and when they come in, they're like tribal people, right? They don't observe the adab. He's standing there politely, Hazrat Abbas, reciting those different things. They come in barefoot, walking, and bring a child in, and kind of moving in their own direction, things. And they get their answer from Hazrat Abbas. The child who was incurable gets the cure right there. And he's witnessing this. And he stands, I've been doing this for a year. Coming and pleading and begging, all adab, everything. And now these people come in with this kind of a... He gets angry with Hazrat Abbas. And he leaves. He goes from Karbala to Najaf. He's waiting there, apparently he's going to travel, I don't know. Suddenly gets a message from Sheikh Al-Ansari. Somebody comes on behalf of Sheikh Al-Ansari. And he says that I'm a messenger from Sheikh Al-Ansari, and he said that he wants to see you. Sheikh Al-Ansari wants to see you. He goes to him, he says, don't get angry with Hazrat Abbas. The marja telling the scholar, don't get angry with Hajjat Abbas. He said, you want to make Hajj? We'll arrange that. You can go on behalf of someone else. You want to get married? We're going to take care of that. You need a house? We'll provide that. But don't get upset with Hazrat Abbas. Don't lose your hope in Ahlul Bayt. So one of the things that we have to remember for us, if we want to go to the next stage of Islamic spirituality, is that hope and belief that despite how bad I am, despite my weaknesses, despite my problems, the Ahlul Bayt are there to serve me. They can help me. They can assist me. They're aware of my problems and my issues. I want to keep this in mind always. One of those spiritual wajibah. So, back to our verse though. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفْ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Certainly, in Yusuf and his brothers are signs for those who have questions. Those who approach the Holy Quran, the story of Hazrat Yusuf, with questions, there are signs in this story for them. But because we're trying to make this practical, let's look at ourselves now. Do we approach the Quran with questions? Actually, how much do we read Quran daily? All of us. How much do we read Quran daily? This is again one of those spiritual wajibat. Recitation of the Holy Quran. There's a verse of the Holy Quran in where the Prophet complains about members of his ummah and their lack of attachment to this special book. It's in surah number 25 and it's verse number 30. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. Allah is mentioning what the Prophet says on that day. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. O my Lord, my people have abandoned the Qur'an. Sometimes, for some of us, people like myself, we're not careful with reciting Qur'an, benefiting from Qur'an, approaching the Qur'an with our questions and getting those answers from the Holy Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our lives, He sees that these people, although they're mu'mineen, although they're praying, although they're fasting, the Qur'an does not have an integral part of their lives. There's actual instructions, if we want to go on the spiritual path, actual instructions as to how much Qur'an we should be reading daily. The Qur'an is supposed to be part of our lives. This book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be our lives daily. This book has signs for those who have questions. And the Qur'an is supposed to be part of our program. It's like water, spiritual water for us. We get this from senior ulama. It's not enough to say, I drank water yesterday. I need water on a daily basis. I need spiritual water, the water of the Holy Quran, that life-giving water, on a daily basis when it comes to reading Quran. Every day I have to be reading Quran and benefiting from Quran, even if it's a little bit. At least let me open it up. One ayat, two ayats, three ayats, 10 ayats. But on a daily basis, this is a spiritual watch. Haram if I don't read it? No! Read what you read in the prayers. Alhamdulillah, it's enough. But for those who are looking for more, the Quran. And there's an experience that the leader related. One time he was mentioning, he said, I've tested people. He said, those people who are always trying to read Quran, because he was involved in political struggle for a long time, from before the revolution happened. He said, those people who were attached to Quran, whenever they would have an opportunity, take out one of those small pocket Qurans, read a few ayat over there, always attached, always reading, these individuals, he said, I found they were more determined, more attached, these people. There were more barakat in their actions. For those people who want to be the soldiers of the Imam, whether it's in their spiritual lives, their private spiritual lives, or those who want to do social work for Islam, Quran has to be part of the equation. We have to be reading Quran. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now we want to move on to verse number 8. This verse is one of those verses that the Bible did not get right. The Bible did not get right. In the biblical version of this story, the brothers of Yusuf see Yusuf. This is not our version. I'm going to read our version. They see Yusuf. He's coming from a distance. And there the plot of how to deal with Yusuf is formed. It's different than the Quranic story. And in the Quranic story, you see why Hazrat Yaqub would cry until his eyes became white. The story is actually a story of betrayal of boys who knew their father loved Yusuf more than all of them, and it was a premeditated crime. Getting Yusuf, taking him away from his father, getting him away from the protective custody of his father, and then getting rid of him when you know how your father loves you. That's what we find in the story of Yusuf. But the Bible doesn't have it in that way. It was a plot and it was formed when they saw, and then other mistakes that they made in other places. But this is the way that the Quran explains it. إِذْ قَالُ لَيُوسُفْ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ أُصْبَهُ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. This is what the translation. When they said, the brothers, the secret session that they're sitting and deciding what to do about Yusuf. Surely Yusuf and his brother are dearer to our father than the rest of us. Although we are a hardy group, and our father is indeed in manifest error. Now in each one of these points from the Holy Quran, there are lessons. Each one of these points that we can get from here. What happened? The brothers say that Yusuf and his brother, أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا. Yusuf and his brother are more beloved, more loved by our father than we are. So the brothers knew that Hazrat Yaqub loved them. It wasn't a matter that he didn't love them, he didn't show them any affection, he wasn't caring to them. No, they knew he loved them, but they also realized that Yusuf and his brother were more beloved than they were. And it wasn't normal love either. Normal love, let's say you have a little kid, right? A little child just comes into the family, he's kind of cute, a little toddler. Other children, although they might be jealous if they saw their parents showing more love to one sibling over the other, but all of us understand, he's a little guy, he's cute, he's lovable, he's hot, yeah, it's okay. This love was more than that. Yusuf and his little brother were younger than they were the babies, they were dependent on the family, but this love was unusual love. Of course, it was love lillah. Hazrat Yaqub is ma'asum. It's lillah. But they could tell this was unusual love, not natural. Then the other part of the verse says, he's dearer, Yusuf and his brother are dearer than us, although we are a hardy group. There's a lesson in this also. What happened? The brothers were older and they took care of the sheep. They were the big boys. They were young men. They handled their father's problems. They were the breadwinners. They were the breadwinners. And Yusuf and his little brother at that time were dependents on the bigger brothers who helped out the father. In their mind, this level of love and attention was wrong. You should love, in their mind, those who are useful for you. Right? Who's more useful? The bigger brother or the little brother? Who helps more? Who brings money, puts it on the table? Who takes care of the problems and issues? We do. The bigger brothers. Why is it that you love these little guys who are dependent? You need them. You don't need them. You need us. The love is supposed to be here with us. For this reason, they say the next sentence, Inna abana lafi dhalalim mubin. Surely our father is in manifest error. According to worldly logic, the logic of the dunya, you pay more attention to those who you need more, who you get more from. It's not based on principles like Islam. That in Islam we say the most person who has the most respect in the eyes of God is the person who has the most taqwa. That's what Islam says. Not how much money you have, how much is in your bank account, power lunches, which kind of car you drive, none of that. How I benefit from you. No, our love, our respect, our veneration, innama akramakum indallah atqakum. But the brothers said, no, the dunya, how the dunya views things. We're useful. We help. We provide. We take care of you. If there's ever an issue, you come to us. That means love for us. And if you're not like this, you're terribly mistaken. When they say dalal here, they don't mean their father was misguided. That's another reason that this verse is useful for us. The brothers of Yusuf were Muslims. They believed in their father as a prophet. Right? This is a lesson that we're reading about how Muslims can slip. Muslims meaning their father at that time, that was the prophet. If we were at the time of Yaqub, we would also follow him. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were believers, and these people felt their father was making a mistake. Sometimes what happens is when you live with a great personality, you see them as being an ordinary human being. They believed their father was a prophet, but he's a father, he's a man, a human, and he's making a mistake. Not though a mistaken deen that he has left the religion, he's dhal and mudhil. No, not like that. Dhalal, from a worldly point of view, he's not logical in his decisions. That's one thing they said. Secondly, they needed a plan of how to deal with him. Yusuf and his brother are more beloved by our father than we are. How do we deal with this problem? That's verse number 9. Uqtulu Yusuf. أو اطرحوه أرضا يخلو لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. This is the plan now. The problem was Yusuf. Our father doesn't understand. How do we deal with the problem? Kill Yusuf. Kill Yusuf. Or cast him away in some distant land so that your father's love may be exclusively yours and that you may become a righteous lot after that. This is again, you see, these people are many Muslims, but weak iman. After that, we've got to do the right thing. We'll make tawbah. We're going. Now, this is a lesson for all of us. Jealousy, these evil traits, left unchecked, what can it do to us? If we don't work on ourselves, what can happen? A Muslim, a mu'min, a believer in a prophet, who is the relative of a prophet, the son of a prophet, comes to another innocent son of a prophet, kill him. Jealousy left unchecked. Kill him or cast him away after that. Because they're Muslims. You have to make tawbah after that. After that, we'll make tawbah. We'll ask Allah for forgiveness. And then, alhamdulillah, the problem will be solved. Our father's love will only be for us. He'll forget his son. Now, there's something, two lessons. One of them is that this is one of the traps of shaitan. And it can happen to us. Sometimes, as a Muslim, I know that I'm going to be faced with a terrible decision. Sometimes what I'll do, I'll fool myself. I'll do it, and then after that, I'll make tawbah. Trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, I'm going to do it. I'm premeditated. And then after that, I'll make tawbah. It'll be okay. That kind of tawbah, I'm fooling myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that. If I make a mistake, yeah, I slipped. But not premeditated sin, and then after that, all I'll do is I'll make tawbah. Trying to fool God in that way. No, make repentance. To seriously be repentant. This kind of repentance? No, that's not acceptable. The other point is even more, perhaps more serious for us. This is from Ayatollah Behjat, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He says that the traits that we see, for instance, we talk about the ashab of the prophet, what the ashab did or didn't do. The brothers of Yusuf, what they did or didn't do, how bad they were, mistakes they made. How could you be like that? You could kill your own brother. You're the son of a prophet. He's the son of a prophet. How could you do that? This is what Ayatollah Behjat says. He says those evil traits that you see in those who oppose the Ahlul Bayt, oppose the way of the Anbiya, oppose, those traits are in you and I. The evil traits are in you and I. With them, they have become realized. The traits are now active, and the people are acting on those traits. With you and I, they're what we call bilquwa. Potentially, they're there. If we don't do anything about those traits, God forbid a terrible test comes, Allah might expose some of the flaws that we have. This is a different way of looking at Quran or the stories of Ahlul Bayt and what happened before. I could possibly make those mistakes if I don't learn from them. Let me read you a kind of scary hadith. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This is what he says. Ash-sharru kaminun fi tabi'ati kulli ahad. Shar, wickedness, evil, is hidden in the nature of everyone. Kaminun fi tabi'ati kulli ahad. All of those bad traits can possibly be in us. Jealousy, anger, hatred, all of those things are there. This is what he says. فَإِنْ غَلَبَهُ صَاحِبُهُ بَتَنْ. If the person works on himself, overcomes that trait, then the trait becomes hidden. Potential becomes hidden. It doesn't come out. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَغْلِبْهُ ظَهَرْ. If the person doesn't work on themselves, doesn't overcome the trait appears, and sometimes in the worst places. Before the return of the Imam, we need to be working so that we overcome our evil traits. We're on control of our nafs. Not that these traits are there and waiting like najasa for something to happen and to spill out, and we go over and we do something which is really terrible. So the traits are there. The potential is there. What we do with that is up to us. And that's why self-building is so important for the soldiers of the Imam. More important than outreach. More important than trying to call all others, please come to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. More important than that is what we do with ourselves. How we better ourselves. How we change ourselves. Let me give you a story from Shahid Bishti. May Allah have mercy on his soul. Shahid Bishti went to Germany. Went to Germany. And over there he was in charge of a masjid. And in the masjid he would be doing Islamic work, leading Salat and Jama'ah, Jummah, these things. He came back to Iran. When he came back to Iran, the Hausa students gathered around him. They asked him, they said, how many Germans did you convert? How many Germans, how many new people did you bring into Islam? What did Shahid Beheshti say? He said, our responsibility is to preserve those Muslims who are there. Keep them from going astray. Shahid Beheshti believed in the promise or the principle, if the good become better, the bad will become good. If we want to spread the path of the Ahlul Bayt, become so good, others are attracted to the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Work on my flaws, on my problems, on my issues. My behavior draws others in. We have hadith. This is from Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. He says, من سر أن يكون من أصحاب القائم فلينتظر وليعمل بالورع ومحاسن الأخلاق وهو منتظر. He says, whoever wants to be one of the companions of the Imam, this individual must await the Imam, and act bilwara, have taqwa, and mahasin al-akhlaq, not only taqwa, but also good akhlaq, wahuwa muntadhir. That kind of awaiting the Imam is the awaiting the Imam, which is effective. Muslims have to be like that. So we have to become real followers of the Ahlul Bayt. Real followers of the Ahlul Bayt. We have to rid ourselves of bad traits like jealousy, which are against the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. There's a line in Ziyarat Aminullah. It says this, that we're asking Allah to make us mufariqatan li akhlaqi a'da'ik. We ask you, O Allah, to make us far removed from the akhlaq of your enemies. We don't want to be like the Shimmers and Yazids, that we have some of those same characteristics as Shias of Amirul Mu'mineen. So we have the potential, when we look at this verse, talking about Mu'mineen, who were jealous, who were ready to commit this terrible crime, we have the potential to be like the Ashab of Hussein alayhi salam, or like the horde of Yazid. If we work on ourselves, we can better ourselves and become those people who are blessed with the presence of the Imam, or the opposite can happen. Let me give you a true story to talk, show us what our potential is. Here's another one of those spiritual wajibat. One of the spiritual wajibat is a process that we call al-muhasaba. Al-muhasaba. What al-muhasaba is that the person in the middle of at night, before they go to bed, they take account of themselves. Al-muhasaba. To the extent that it's among the signs of the good Shia, spiritual wajibah, to take account of myself. So before I go to sleep at night, if I want to do extra, take account of myself from the beginning of the day until the end of the day. The hadith says, if I see any good act, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not giving myself credit, alhamdulillah. I thank Allah that I had the tawfiq to perform a good action. Good actions don't make me arrogant, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I see a sin, then what happens? Should I lose hope in myself? No, I don't lose hope in myself. I ask Allah for forgiveness and I move on. If I feel so bad after committing a sin, I lose hope in myself. I start to beat myself up. I'm a terrible Muslim. Actually, that's not from Allah anymore. If my regret is so great, I'm not progressing anymore. I feel like stopping in the path. That is actually something which is not ilahi, it's shaitani. So the process is called al-muhasaba, taking account of yourself. I want to give you a true story about al-muhasaba. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is about one of the shuhada. The eyewitness is saying this. There was an explosion and the person's bunker blew up. When I went over there, I saw that the person's face, their body, was full of shrapnel. Their head full of shrapnel. I called the person's name before that, no response. Once he came to the lifeless body, he noticed there was a piece of paper in this young soldier's jacket or coat. Takes out the paper. Al-muhasaba. The person had written down on the piece of paper, sins of the week. The sins that I've committed this week, al-muhasabah. Sins of the week. Saturday, feeling proud after scoring a goal against the opposing team. Just playing soccer, for instance, I scored a goal. After that, I felt a sense of pride. That's my sin for Saturday. Sunday, what's my sin? The sin is I finish Salatul Layl quickly. Tahajjud, making tahajjud, but I rushed. That's one sin. Monday, I forgot my daily sajda of shukr. Every day I would thank Allah, shukr, sajda of shukr. I forgot that. Tuesday, my sin. I went to sleep without making wudu. I didn't make wudu, I went to sleep without making wudu. The sin. Wednesday, laughing with a loud voice in a group. I was in a group, brothers, laughing, joking. I laughed in a loud voice. Thursday, the commander, this is a young soldier, the commander of the battalion, passed salams to me before I passed salams to him. It's better for me to give salams first. My sin was... He says, Friday, I didn't finish my salawats of Friday. I was satisfied with only performing 800. Apparently, he performed 1,000, and he got tired. You know how old this guy was? He had just started the 9th grade. So we have the potential. This is where we can go. We shouldn't. Sometimes what happens, the mistake that we might make, I don't think I'm capable of reaching great spiritual heights. I don't think I'm capable of winning, being one of those special soldiers of the Imam. I'm struggling as a Muslim to avoid muharramat, clear, open sins. But this 9th grader, is saying that I made Salatul Layl quickly. Muharrama. So we have that potential. The potential to become very, very great with the permission of Allah. But we have to do these, we have to actually practice these things. Al-Muhasabah, for instance. We have to actually practice. So back to the sin of jealousy, because we said jealousy is a sin, is a problem, is a spiritual problem, one of the reasons that mu'mineen fail. How can we get rid of jealousy? How can we get rid of jealousy? We have instructions in the Holy Quran where Allah says, this is surah number 4 and verse number 32. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Don't wish, don't covet that which Allah has favored others from amongst you. If somebody else has a blessing, jealousy, what's jealousy? Al-hasad. What's al-hasad? Al-hasad, jealousy, is when someone else has a blessing and I want that blessing to be taken away from them and given to me. That's jealousy. You have a blessing, I see that blessing, I want that, I want it to be taken away from you and given to me. Sometimes I can be so bad when it comes to jealousy, I say it doesn't even matter if I don't get it, just you don't have it. Al-hasad. So Allah tells us not to be like this. We have hadith that are actually scary in this regard. They say the person who's jealous, in reality, it's not the person has a problem with the other individual who has the blessing. In reality, the person has a problem with God. Why? Because Allah was the one who chose who to favor who with which blessing. If I'm jealous and I want to see the blessing removed from someone, in reality, the taqseem of Allah is what I'm unhappy with. I'm unhappy with the action of God. So we're told in the Holy Quran not to do that. Not to covet. If we see a blessing somebody else has, inshallah, Allah grant me the same blessing. We have a hadith about this actually, that إِنَّ المؤمن يغبط وَلَا يَحْسُدْ. If the mu'min sees someone who has a blessing, this person studies better than I do, the more attractive them I am. They have a house, they have a car, they have a wonderful family, whatever blessing. Spiritually, certain maqamat, whatever the blessings, the mu'min has what we call ghibta. What's ghibta? Ghibta is when I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the same blessing. Not to remove it from the other person, give me the same blessing. It inspires me. I want to be better. I want to change myself. That's acceptable. The mu'min does ghibta, but doesn't do hasad. And the munafiq, and again, there's levels of nifaq. Even we can have, as mu'mineen, levels of nifaq. The munafiq is the one who does hasad and not ghibta. So we want to be real careful about doing that. They tell us, the ulama of akhlaq, sometimes when we're jealous, it leads to us interacting with the other person in a bad way. We're talking about now how to get out of it. How do we get out of it? Get out of jealousy. They say, if we were arrogant towards that person, I'm trying to break this trait within myself. If I was arrogant towards that person, be humble of that towards that person. If I used to say bad things about the person because I wanted to bring them down, then say good things about that person. I want to give you another example again of those special mu'mineen. There are some people who are happy when it comes to others having blessings, even willing to prefer others over themselves. I want to give you two stories and then inshallah we'll come towards the closing of our talk tonight. Two stories. One of them, again, about one of the shuhada. The guy's telling the story. He says that the other shaheed told me, he said that, alhamdulillah, the blankets and the sheets have been distributed. I'm going to bed with your permission. The guy's telling the story. He says, this guy, he was responsible for laying down the blankets and sheets for everyone. He realized there weren't enough sheets to go around. One person was going to go to bed without a sheet. So what he did, he divided the sheets and blankets with everyone. Before I could notice, he went to sleep without being able to cover himself. It gets cold out there. He prefers that for himself. If somebody has to go through hardship, I prefer others to have ni'mah, the opposite. Instead of taking ni'mahs away, no. Let others enjoy ni'mahs. So much love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have love of Allah's creation. Let others benefit. Let me suffer a little bit. Again, without compromising my responsibilities towards my family, not any of that. Let me give you one more example. Again, about the shuhada. They said that we came towards an area in the battlefield, and they had one person whose responsibility, in Farsi they call it a takhribchi. What a takhribchi does is that if you're surrounded, or if you have to cross like barbed wire, these kind of things, this person will cut the barbed wire. Cut the barbed wire so you can move. Says the person who could clear the mines, cut barbed wire, these things, this person became shaheed. And we were pinned down by enemy fire. There was nowhere to run. Behind us, barbed wire. In front of us, the enemy fire. Nowhere to escape. He said, then one of the brothers said that, look, I'm wounded. He had already been shot. Brothers, I'm not going to make it out of this battlefield. He said, run over my body. He laid himself down on the barbed wire. He said, run over my body and leave. He's alive. He prefers others to have blessings over himself. So he laid himself down on the barbed wire. He says, I asked him, I said, why is it that you're laying face down on the barbed wire? Others are running over your body. They're escaping. Give them life and let me die. Let me become shaheed. Why is it you're lying face down on the barbed wire? He said that I don't want the brothers to look me in the eye and feel embarrassed. So I lay myself down on the barbed wire, let others run over me. So the point being that we can achieve these states of Islamic spirituality. We can get to a stage where we even prefer other believers over ourselves because of our hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's expected from us. We can fix, for instance, the idea of popularity. The brothers mentioned that our brother is more beloved by Allah than we are. We want to be popular. We want to be beloved. Well, let's do it in the way that Allah prescribes. In the way that Allah prescribes. We have in the hadith, "Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah, aslaha Allah ma baynahu wa bayna an-nas." Whoever corrects his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry about the people. Allah will correct your relationship with the people. We have verses of the Holy Quran. Allah makes the believer beloved to others. I don't have to compromise my principles. I don't have to become jealous. I don't have to want Allah to take away the blessing from others. If I do my job, Allah will make me beloved to others. Verse of the Holy Quran. This is Surah 19 and verse number 96. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. Indeed, those who have faith and do righteous deeds, the All-Beneficent will endear them to His creation. It's in Allah's hands. The hearts of people are in Allah's hands. I want to be beloved? Let Allah do it for me. Now, for the last part of our speech, let's remember the Shaheed that we're going to commemorate tonight. The Shaheed that we want to commemorate tonight is a slave named Joan. Joan. He's not an ordinary person. Those people who made it to Karbala, there are lessons we can get from their lives. These are of Allah's awliya. Allah's awliya. When Imam of our time, Imam Zaman, refers to him, he says, As-salamu ala Joan ibn Huwai, Mawla Abi Dhar al-Ghafari. Peace be, the Imam of the time. May the Imam of the time, inshallah, send salams on us like this. Salam on that person, peace on that person who is Joan, peace be on Joan, the son of Huwai, the slave of Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari. This is the story of Joan. Joan is one of those people who had the honor of being a real slave of the Ahlul Bayt. That blessing, everybody doesn't get that blessing. This is what he says. So before I get, because he's a slave of Abu Dhar, but before let me get that, let me just explain what it means when you can be a slave of Ahlul Bayt. Once Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked a question by one of the Yahud, one of the ulama of the Yahud asked him a question about God, the existence of God. The explanation of Amir al-Mu'mineen was so wonderful. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, afa nabiyun anta? Are you a prophet? How can you know this? Are you a prophet? Amir al-Mu'mineen told him, way be upon you, innama ana abdun min abidi Muhammad. He said, I'm only a slave of the Prophet. That's not a normal rank, a normal daraja. To say that you are really a slave of Ahlul Bayt, that's not an easy thing. This is what he says. So Abu Dhar, his story is that he was purchased by Amir al-Mu'mineen and given to Abu Dhar. Purchased by Amir al-Mu'mineen and given to Abu Dhar. He was so loyal, then later on when Abu Dhar did his responsibility and spoke out against the ruler of his time and was exiled, this slave traveled with Abu Dhar. When Abu Dhar went into exiles, friendless, he went with him. When Abu Dhar, may Allah have mercy upon him, passed away, Joan returned, and now he began to serve for Amir al-Mu'mineen. After he served for Amir al-Mu'mineen, then he began to serve Imam Hassan. After he served Imam Hassan, he began to serve Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And finally, Imam Hussein told him, serve in the house of Imam Sajjad. How did he come to Karbala? Because he was a servant of Imam Sajjad. So how many Imams? Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, four Imams. A servant of Ahlul Bayt. When the time of the battle came, then Joan came and he asked the Imam for permission to fight. Fight for his Imam. Now that I've served this old man, now I want to offer my life in the way of Islam. And the Imam told him, he said, Anta fi idhnin minni. You have permission to go. You came for us, you came with us to have a better life. You don't have to go over and sacrifice your way, yourselves in this way. And Joan told him, he said, O son of the Prophet, is it gonna be the case that I drink from your cup when you're in ease? And then when in time of difficulty I abandon you? We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to make us the true servants of Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to make what was said and heard be accepted in His way. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to protect all of the believers, mu'mineen, mu'minat, all of the ulama, maraja, and especially the leaders. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.